back meeting to order. And if there's any members of the public and you haven't signed into the chat yet, if you care to make a comment during the public comment period, please do so now before we get to the public comment section of our agenda. I think we'll start with the roll call. And our icebreaker tonight, seeing as I think the first day of spring was this week or last week, and we've had some spring weather. When I call your name, let's share what our favorite flower is, spring flower is, if you have one. Right? And let's start with Brian Scarlett Fisher.
Hi.
Hi.
I would say my favorite flower is the cherry blossom.
Cherry blossoms. Okay, great.
Yes, the Japanese have a wonderful thing with cherry blossoms. They have a total festival and everything with it.
Okay, Alma Bloom.
I am present, and I don't know if it's actual flower, but I like the flowers that bloom out of the chives because you can eat them. I like things you can eat.
Oh, Well, there's lots of edible flowers out there, so great. Emily Estes.
I really love magnolia trees, and the blooms on those are lovely.
Great. Franklin Johnson. Is Franklin here? Maybe not. Chief Mori. Not here. Dr. Fisher.
Hi, everybody. I was going to say the Camas lily.
Okay, great. Mark Collier. Here. I don't see him. Marlo's not here yet. Michael Watkins.
Hi, good evening. And I apologize if I'm not on camera. I'm actually driving, but I don't really have a favorite one. I just actually like when they all start blooming.
Okay. Well, listen and drive carefully.
Thank you.
Nissa Buchanan.
Hi, everyone. I guess mine would probably be jasmine or lilac. I like both those.
Paul Childers.
Well, I've got my daffodils are already blooming. I love them. Yeah, they're already starting to come out.
Great. Peggy Carlson.
Hi, everybody. I don't know flower names. I'm really impressed with all of you naming flowers. I like the ones that pop up and you don't have to replant them every year. They just pop up and they're colorful. Whatever those are, I like those.
Hydrangeas.
Hydrangeas?
Yeah. They're
Maybe.
very tall.
Probably talking about tulips.
And tulips and daffodils and yeah.
Tulips
Yeah.
are colorful.
Bulbs.
Yeah.
Robert Ferrier.
I'm here. Where I grew up, there was a lot of jacaranda trees. And so when they bloom in the springtime, it's just lavender color and it's just beautiful until you get to about May and June and all the flowers drop and it's a big mess. But when they're on the tree, it's beautiful.
Great. My favorite flower is along with Paul, it's daffodils, but Paul, all my daffodils are about done, so I must have the early ones and you have the late ones.
Yes.
Scott Johnson.
I all-purpose flower. That'd be about it.
That any flower?
It's white and it comes in a bag.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are you talking about baking? Is
Yeah,
that
that's a joke.
what? Boy, it went over my head. Good job. Tyler Clary.
Yeah, definitely tulip. I love the way they're shaped and the colors, and just reminds me that spring's here.
Uh,
Of course,
Councilor Marshall.
over in Portland, they have major tulip festival. I mean, they have yards and yards and yards and yards of tulips. Everybody can come there to celebrate.
So I have so many favorites, but I'd say Daphne right now because it blooms early and it smells so good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dr. Melnick.
Well, I was going to say that Scott Johnson takes the cake, but I probably shouldn't go there. But
oh, you too.
Anyway, I'm going to go with daffodils because the shoots start coming up in December. I mean, they're the first thing. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not, but
oh, yes.
They start coming up. They're pretty hardy, and they're the first thing out there, and then they bloom like February, so or start yeah. blooming in February. So I'll go with those.
Okay, great. Let's see. Is Andrea Pruitt here tonight? Dana?
Dana Nguyen, hello, I'm here.
Hyacinth. Okay, great. Haley.
I was going to say magnolias as well, and I apologize. My camera keeps turning itself off, so I'll keep it on as long as I can and then turn it right back on.
Jeff Harbison.
I would say tulips as well, but I want to give a plug. There is a very large cherry blossom festival actually every year. There used to be in the Dalles, Oregon, not too far down the highway from us.
And Roxanne,
well. Hi, everybody. I love all the flowers, all of them, but I really, really love coneflowers. They pop up back up every single year too, so they're usually perennial. And then you can dry them, and they're all, the centers are all spiky, and you can dry them and keep using them. So I love it.
Okay, and did I miss anybody?
You missed me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kimberly.
That's okay.
Kimberly.
Hi. I have lots of bulbs. Peggy, those are bulbs, perennials. Usually they're bulbs and you plant them once and they keep going. You just trim them when they're dead every year and they come back. I have dozens of tulips and daffodils and bird of paradise, and I love the bulbs. But I do also have to give a plug. It's not really a flower, but I have several Japanese maple trees, and those are beautiful when they're blooming in the right time of year. I have red maples and they're just gorgeous.
Well, great. Well, thank you. I think if we planted all our favorite flowers in the in a garden, we'd have a beautiful spring festival for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's see. I guess we need to review the minutes next. Haley had sent the minutes out from the last meeting, and I think that's the January minutes that we need to do because the February meeting was canceled. And so are there any comments or questions on the minutes? And do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Okay. And, right. All those in favor say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the January 2024 minutes have been approved. We have several membership updates for us tonight. First of all, the dental position that we had been looking for, a dentist, we did receive a candidate, Dr. Kirk Truong. And his materials have been sent forward, and we're just waiting for his letter from the council for his approval. So hopefully he'll be joining us at our next meeting, which will be in person. So we'll get a chance to meet him. Dr. Garber is no longer with Peace Health. So we're going to be working on a replacement for her in the social services area. And we have a nomination, Tracy Fernandez, who's the interim executive and CFO for Peace Health. And so we're going to move her recommendation forward to replace Dr. Garber.
Sandy, that's not the social services position. That's the Peace Health
nominated. You're right, it is.
Sorry.
Well,
That's a bee self-nominated position. Yeah.
my bifocals are playing tricks on me when I'm trying to read my notes. So thank you. Now we'll move to the social services position that was held by Michelle Stickley, and she has resigned from her position, which now leaves a vacancy in the social services area. And the membership committee has recommended or is contacting Lori Schott, who's vice president of programs for YWCA. And she had applied previously, and she's been contacted and she's interested. So the membership committee is going to move her recommendation forward. So hopefully she'll be joining the group here shortly. And lastly, because of Michelle's resignation, she was the vice chair on the exec committee for FAC. And that left an opening. And so Peggy Carlson has agreed to move forward into that position for the rest of this year until Michelle's position ends, which then leaves an opening for Peggy's position at large position. And so I'd like to take a couple minutes and see if anyone's interested in self-nominating to fill that position on the executive board. It would be for the rest of this year, a short-term kind of 9-month appointment. And it means just one meeting a month just prior to our meetings to help set the agenda and discuss any issues that we need to cover during our FAC meetings. So I'll give a minute and see if anyone is interested in self-nominating to fill Peggy's position as the member at large on the exec. Don't everybody speak at once. Well, I'm hearing a lot of silence. So that means we will go back to the drawing board and be making some contacts to see if we can have one of you be willing to fill that position. You can think about it through the meeting. If you decide that you want to self-nominate, you can put it into the chat or you can contact me after the meeting if you have second thoughts and say, yes, that sounds like an exciting thing to do. I'd love to put my name in the ring. But we'd really love to have someone join us on the exec in that position.
Does anyone have any questions about what exec does or what it would entail to be in the at-large position that we could answer, help answer right now as you think about?
I would appreciate a brief overview. What
Yeah,
does that
Sandy, you
entail?
want to
Yeah.
and Peggy?
Well, we meet once a month, and Haley kind of goes through the things that we had talked about at our previous meetings that we need to put on the agenda, and we talk about what the agenda's items are around what our FAC goals are and what some of the issues are. The staff brings up things that they may want to have advice or ha have us talk about at our meetings. And so we talk about what the agendas are. What the agenda items are and how we're going to approach them. Sometimes we need to have, small group work. So we'll kind of talk about how we're going to negotiate, not negotiate, how we're going to work through the agenda most efficiently when it's on Zoom versus in person. And like I said, the meeting's about 1 hour, on the second Thursday, I believe, in the mornings, but we adjust it to the availability of those that are on the exec. Anything else to add, Haley, that I've missed? I think it's a good opportunity for you to learn more about FAC and how it operates and how we put the agenda together and to learn more, get to know some of the other members pretty well and get to know staff. So it's a I really enjoy being on the exec.
Are we open to nominating people? Like, can I nominate someone?
Sure, why not?
I think Emily would make an exceptional member at large on the exec committee. Emily, what do you think?
I would be interested in doing that. Yeah, I was holding off because I wasn't exactly sure what it meant, but I would be very interested in that.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay. All right. Do we want to make a motion to that effect? And we'll have the group, I guess, vote on what Emily becoming the member at large on the exec committee.
I move that Emily becomes the member at large on the exec committee.
Second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any of those opposed? And Emily, you can't say no.
Good nomination, Peggy.
All right. Thank you, Peggy, for doing that. And thank you, Emily, for agreeing to be the member at large on
Thanks.
the exec. So Haley will be in touch with you about when the next meeting is and coordinate with you. And I'm glad to have you. Thank you. All right. Do we have any public comments?
I haven't had anyone sign in, and I don't see anyone on the screen that's a member of the public. So I think we can
Okay.
move
Well,
right
then
along.
we're gonna move right along then. And Haley, I think you're gonna address the FAP goals and making some progress that way.
Yeah, so this was on the agenda for last month. Let me go ahead and full screen this here for everyone. But exec wanted to revisit the brainstorm that we had in January. So it's been 2 months now. So I'm just going to jog our memories on what we did at the January in-person meeting. And then attached to the agenda email that you all have, there's a kind of a handout, one-pager synthesis of the notes from that meeting. If anyone doesn't have it in front of you right now, that's okay. But we're going to break up into small groups in a minute and have some conversation about those notes and reflections. But just a reminder, at the January meeting, Lindsay Schenkel, our strategic initiatives coordinator, did a presentation on the community health improvement plan and the process, the year-long process from assessing health priorities in the community to actually prioritizing what the community wanted to focus on for the next 5 years. So she talked about the CHIP, what we call the CHIP, Community Health Improvement Plan. And then you broke into small groups and discussed and reported about kind of what excited you about the plan, and how could FAC support some of these community priorities. And I'll just jog your memory, the priorities are education, mental health, community connection and care, and then this kind of groundwater racial equity, civic engagement driving priority. So we talked a little bit about that, and Lindsay presented those priorities to the Board of Health the next day. And then at the end of the meeting, we asked you to do an exit activity where we had just kind of done a 2023 year in review. Here's what FAC accomplished last year. Now think about what kind of goals you have as an individual on FAC for the next 1 year and 3 year. And you wrote that down on a sticky note as you left the meeting. And so all of those notes are synthesized into a PDF document, which you hopefully received with the agenda. And what we want to do for the next, I can't see my clock, but I think 20 minutes or so, is we're going to break up into groups of three to four. I'm just going to have Zoom randomly assign you. And I want you to talk about kind of the following, what themes do you see in these goals? So what you have in front of you in that PDF, if you don't have it, I can send it over to you over email one more time. But what themes do you see from the notes? And all I did was type up exactly what you all wrote down and what we talked about. So there's redundancies, right? Because some people mention things more than once. And then what criteria could FAC use to pick priority goals? How could we start to prioritize this list? I want you to pick a note taker. We're not going to have time tonight to do a report out. And so I want you to pick a very responsible person who's willing to take some notes directly into an email and just shoot it off to me at the end of the meeting, so that I can compile that into the meeting minutes and also have it to continue the conversation. So thank you in advance to those note takers who are willing to just write down some ideas about what you discussed. Let me stop and see if there's any questions, or if you need anything from me, if you need me to send me the PDF of the notes, let me know. But any questions about what we're going to do next? Can see
Haley,
everyone.
on these two questions, are you just addressing the goals or both of the chip, the what we're excited about and the goal? Well,
I think all the goals and what excites you might be something to think about how we might prioritize back work. So all of it, yeah. Thanks for the clarification. Any other? I'm just looking at my chat. Any other questions before? Does everyone have that PDF of notes in front of you in some form? I see some nods. Okay. Okay. All right. I will go ahead and send you into breakout rooms. I'll also copy and paste these two questions so you've got them once you're in your breakout rooms in your chat. That should work. And then I'll give you kind of a 3 or 4 minute remind heads up that we're going to come back to the main room, and then we'll move into the next part of the agenda. Okay. All right. Let's give me a second while I work some breakout room magic. Let's see how many of us are there. Okay. Here we go. And you, I think you'll have to click join your room. But it should pop up now.
We have everybody back. All right. Did you have anything else more, Haley, on that topic?
Nope, I popped into a few rooms and the conversation sounded great. So please go ahead and email if you're the note taker, kind of the high level conversation you had, so I can include it in the minutes so we can keep discussing some priorities. Thanks.
Righty. Thanks, everybody. All right, I think it's now time for me to turn the meeting over to Jeff for Budget 101.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Recently, I was able to do two budget brown bag sessions for all of our public health staff, sort of a Q&A. It was a review of our 2024 budget, and then a conversation about our 2025 budget process. I'm going to go through the 2024 recap portion of that with FACT tonight. And then I've created a more in-depth 2025 budget matrix process document to review as well. So I'm going to share my screen and start with the 2024 synopsis. So as you may or may not be aware, public health responsibilities when it comes to the budget actually encompasses the Public Health Fund 1025, the Solid Waste Fund, as well as the Medical Examiner's Office, which is part of the general fund, and then also Solid Waste Closure Fund, which is basically it's a post-closure activities for the old Lechner landfill. So again, this is a presentation I gave to all of our staff. I'm going to just go through this. It lists all of our revenues at a pretty high level: federal grants, and state cost share, our foundational public health services, state grant. We do receive some discretionary funding from the state. It's a legislative appropriation. We have some local grants or contracted work. We also have support from the county, both through general fund support as well as mental health sales tax support. We also have fees, environmental public health fees. I've got a little note here. Basically, $190,000 of this $5.4 million actually comes directly from the Solid Waste Fund tipping fee support for the Public Health Fund. The Medical Examiner, we began fee collection in the Medical Examiner's Office last year. Also, the Solid Waste, they have a fee source. And then lastly, the last fee breakout is for vital records. This is the sale of birth and death certificates. And this little note is telling me to remind you that about 62% of this, just under 1.1 million, ends up going back to the state. We only get to keep about 38% of that. The last couple are investment interest and then just other, just stuff that doesn't quite fit any of these categories. The total budget for the public health fund, I'll just highlight that one, 21.6 million. I then get into expenditures, and I started with personnel costs, salaries and wages, overtime. I've got some different benefits breakout. The number, this note here for benefits under medical insurance, I told staff basically that there was a double-digit percentage increase in our medical insurance premiums for 2024 that were not part of the 2024 budget. Those cost increases, they were not through negotiating. The county wasn't when the budget was finalized. So I then presented, I showed basically the percent of total revenue of the revenue budget that is taken up by personnel costs. I then wanted to show our county costs, things like building rent. We pay technology equipment reserve and replacement, or TER&R. We also have county overhead that we pay. County overhead pays for things like the budget office and human resources and the auditor's office, treasurer's office, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have fleet services. I showed a subtotal for the county. And what I really wanted to show staff is this last line on page one. In the public health fund, after we pay the county and our staff, we have just 9.1% of all of our revenue remaining to pay for everything else. I then get into what we call controllables, things like supplies, travel, training, and services. And then lastly, our public health indirects and then transfers, the $618,000, that's the portion of the vital records revenue that goes back to the state. I did want to point out, you'll see here a negative $654,000 in indirect overhead in the public health fund. That represents what we charge to the solid waste fund and the medical examiner's office for our administrative support of those programs. All right, any questions on the 2024 budget recap? I think we've gone over some of this data, just not in this form before.
Your 24 budget was balanced, yes, Jeff?
Yes, yeah.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to go on to the next portion. This is also from the presentation I did for all staff. We talk a lot about, in public health, or at least I do, about the broken budget construct in public health, where our revenues are fairly stagnant and our expenses obviously will grow over time. This chart kind of shows that the local funding line includes all of our fees. And the one thing that, if you want to say something for our revenue that is indexed, we've been fairly fortunate that our Board of Health for many years has approved adjustments to our fees as needed. And then you see this very large, very drastic uptick in state revenue. That is the foundational public health services revenue. But I think I've talked about this in these meetings. That state appropriation, that's that discretionary state source of 1.767 million, that's what it's been since that fund was established. I've talked about the federal maternal child health block grant, $334,110, 1998 and 2024, same number. So I've talked a lot about our revenues, mostly are flat. This is just sort of a 2023 actual revenue side by side, federal, state, local, by cost center, administrative services, environmental, public health. This large gray under local for that's our fees, for example. So that was really the presentation, and I gave a lot more time with staff. Staff had a lot of questions. I do want to offer time now for questions, but I've got a fairly robust matrix and calendar for our 2025 process. But I do want to give a minute if there are any other questions on the 2024 budget or some of the revenue charts that I've shown. All right.
Jeff, one question really quick.
I'm sorry.
No, the foundational public health services dollars, that big influx of funding that we got over
Yes.
the last couple of years. So that's not going to keep going up, 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 correct?
Yep, we are at the end of that 3-year cycle of increases to FPHS. We've already the I'm not sure if the governor has signed the next budget or the amendment for the current biennial budget, but there were no FPHS increases for the
But it's
next.
ongoing funding. It'll
It is
just be
ongoing
flat.
funding.
It'll just be flat like it was in the past.
Yep, it is ongoing funding. Yeah, that went from about 272,000 to 6.89 million in 3 years. Our staffing, we went from 107 FTEs in the public health fund in 2020 to 157 in the 2024 budget. I've been here so long, we had about 177 FTE years and years and years ago, and we got down to below 80. That's what I
You're just talking about the
lived
public
through.
health fund there in
Just the
terms of
public health
FTE,
fund.
correct?
Just
That
the
doesn't
public health
include the
fund.
solid waste piece and the medical examiner's office.
Yep, very true. Yep. All right, I'm going to go into this
And
document
by the
I
way,
have.
on that graph, we're looking at the public health fund 1025, correct?
Yep, this was just the public health fund.
Okay, it doesn't include, okay.
Yeah, I isolated the public health fund to make sure that FAC, this was really more applicable for a FAC here.
Yep.
All right, I've been working on this the last couple days and finalized it just a couple hours ago. The county has a budget planning chart for the 2025 budget. I folded in a lot of county elements as well as our internal process and then where FAC is engaged. March 26th, that's today. I'm reviewing the 2024 highlights with FAC and the 2025 process. Tomorrow, I'll be releasing our budget development tool to all of our program managers, as well as our environmental public health fee schedule tool. All those managers will receive that. Their task, which is due April 26th, is going to be to allocate all their assigned FTE and then forecast their controllable need. So, again, supplies, services, travel, etc. The environmental public health managers, they're also going to be projecting 2025 fee volume for, and I use the term, I should not use acronyms. PE code is program element. And let's just for an example, there are 9 PE categories for brick and mortar restaurants based on complexity and size of the restaurant. So each fee has a different PE code or program element code. The next FAC meeting, April 23rd, the FAC budget subcommittee is going to meet. We'll go through a process deep dive, and then I'm going to try to answer as many questions as I can so the budget subcommittee feels prepared to again provide the necessary feedback to us. The next step in the process, the budget office has one-on-one budget strategy meetings with departments and offices between May 13 and May 23. According to the calendar, the baseline position allocations, are going to be opened in Questica, which is the county budget system, May 13th. For me, what that means is I can get the labor budget data because what I'm releasing tomorrow, the position costs are blank because I don't have that data yet. Where managers are going to be allocating their FTE to the programs, I don't. They're going to be doing that based on the work assignments. Lucky for me is May 13th is the published date. I'm hoping to get it around May 1st. I ask every year, I plead every year. We have a pretty lengthy process. And I need that data as soon as possible. The county has a more compressed budget process than I was used to. So I will update our budget tool with baseline labor data as soon, pretty much as soon as I get the data. I've got on here May 14th, which is the day after the budget data for the positions is released. And then May 16th, I'll provide the first budget fund summary report to our leadership team, which will basically give us an idea what our beginning budget gap is. Do we have a surplus, which is unlikely? How big is our deficit is really what that'll tell us. I've got the week of May 20th. I'm going to review the initial budget summary report with our management team. The environmental public health managers, they review the fee scenarios with their respective technical advisory committees. Their calendar has a May 24th to June 7th window for that. May 28th is the next FAC meeting, and we'll be reviewing again the budget summary for feedback, as well as at that time we'll have the projected environmental public health fee model scenarios. So we'll be reviewing that data at the May 28th meeting. Hopefully the budget subcommittee will be able to provide some recommendations or some info there as well. The deadline for me to have all of the baseline positions allocated in Questica, again, Questica is the county budget software, that's June 3rd. So I've got from May 13th, when that's opened up, to June 3rd to have all the managers finish all their allocations and then me update that in Questica. At that point, I lose access to that system for that purpose. I've got a tentative date, June 10th, where Dr. Melnick, myself, the environmental public health director, probably a couple managers from environmental health will attend one-on-one or one-on-twos with the Board of Health members to review the environmental public health fee model scenarios to get their feedback. The one-on-ones and one-on-twos, it gives us an opportunity to have a private conversation with the counselors to get their feedback based on all the scenarios that we have. Their feedback at that meeting helps me provide the presentation for the public work session. June 25th is our next FAC meeting. And again, we'll review with FAC where we are in the process. I've got a couple, by the way, this chart is also, it's for public health managers as well. So I've got some of the county processes that are less important to you all. The deadline for requesting new positions and new programs are listed there, July 8th. Following the one-on-ones on June 10th, I'll be asking for a Board of Health work session. Again, this is open to the public for July 10th, and this is where we will present the environmental public health fee scenario proposals, again, based on the feedback that we got at those one-on-ones or one-on-twos. If all of the one-on-ones and one-on-twos, we get the exact same input, I will probably just bring one proposal to that work session. It's not likely that's what's going to happen. We've got a proposal for a new program going to Board of Health this year for fees. We got some proposals that I think not all of the Board of Health will be on the same page for. So again, an internal county stage is the mental health sales tax application information sessions are July 16th and 17th. Public health does receive mental health sales tax to partially fund our nurse family partnership program in Clark County. We would like to see that funding indexed. We may be applying for an increase in that funding, either to represent expansion or just a indexed growth. So the budget office meets with all the departments and offices between July 22nd and August 2nd. July 23rd is the next FAC meeting. At that point, we'll be reviewing with FAC our final recommended budget. And then the 26th, that Friday, it's pretty much the deadline I've given our leadership team to have a finalized 2025 budget. Because the very next line, August 12th, I have to have our entire budget entered into Questica and submitted. And actually, it's a very lengthy process of taking everything out of all of our Excel spreadsheets, compiling it, and then doing a comparison versus the baseline and figuring out what is a decision package or change request, and then what is part just a standard baseline adjustment. So August 12th, that's pretty much, that's the last time I'll be having to go into Questica in the budget system and entering anything. From that point forward, you know, our budget request is published October 7th. So if we have any reductions, any elimination of positions, et cetera, we know that on October 7th, that does become public. And then the county manager meets with departments and offices between September 23rd and October 11th. We'll bring forward our environmental public health fee schedule ordinance at the Board of Health hearing on September 25th for adoption. Internally, I'll release the 2025 environmental public health fee schedule document around November 1st. That goes to the environmental public health managers, including our environmental public health support team. At that point, they'll share the final version with the technical advisory committees. The support staff up front will get that. Our IS staff will get that to prepare for an update to the fee schedule on December 31st. Because those fees go live January 1st. All the remaining elements are really the rest of the internal county process. The county manager's recommended budget is published November 5th. There's a work session between the county manager and the county council November 20th, where the county manager's recommended budget is reviewed. And then the three dates listed there for public testimony, or I'm sorry, testimony to the council, the elected officials is December 2nd, a Monday. Public testimony is the Tuesday hearing on December 3rd. And then if needed, they list the Wednesday, December 4th. They have not needed the Wednesday hearing in several years. And then internally, last but not least, I develop a public health document. It's a PDF budget document, a couple hundred pages. It lists our entire budget with quite a bit of granularity. It's for our managers to share with, you know, community partners if asked for. It's just so managers have that available to them. So that's a pretty lengthy, and I hope I didn't put anyone to sleep, but that is our 2025 budget process matrix document that I built. I'm guessing the budget subcommittee will meet additionally than what's listed here. I'll add that as those meetings are scheduled. But that is our 2025 budget timeline as of right now. I do want to bring up one more thing. We talked about our budget deficit at the last FAC meeting. It was about a week later. I woke up at about 3 in the morning and realized our budget deficit for 2025 is not going to be as bad as I projected, because our labor union contract expires at the end of this year, 12/31 of 2024. It will not be negotiated and finalized when the 2025 budget is developed and submitted. So it will not be part of our 2025 budget. The bad news is our 2026 budget will include a double hit. It's going to include 2 years of COLAs, or cost of living adjustments, and then any of those step increases, et cetera. The 2025 budget will, I want to say, only include the Baker-Tilly adjustments. The county went through a wage and salary realignment study with contractor Baker-Tilly. I calculated around $700,000 of a budget hit for that. Also, I talked earlier about the double-digit increase to medical insurance premiums that hit in 2024. That was not part of our 2024 budget. We'll also pick that up in the 2025 budget. So the 2025 deficit will not be nearly as bad as I anticipated, but 2026, that's where we're looking at about a $1.7 million budget deficit. I can say pretty solidly walking into that budget process. So some good news for 2025 and some pretty bad news for 2026.
Jeff, what's your projected deficit for 25 now? You said it's not as bad as what you originally thought. What's the number?
I'm thinking about 875. between Baker Tilly and the medical insurance premiums. We also have a couple funding sources that we lost. So if any of you, I'm sorry, we probably talked about this in a FAC meeting. We lost the regional health officer contract with Cowlitz County, for example. So we've got some funding sources where we've lost revenue that are actually part of our 2024 budget.
All right, so not all things not being equal, you're looking at about 875 upside down in 25, 1.7 million in 26. Have you guys started doing some projections in terms of how you're going to balance your budget, assuming nothing changes and you have no new revenues popping up, and how are you going to address that?
Oh yeah, excellent question. So I've been here since 1998. So I've got a lot of, I don't want to call them tricks, but I think a lot about our budget. One of the things I've been working on the last few months is our footprint and our space. We're in the process right now of space redesign. We're going to be giving up about 60% of our footprint of our physical space. We should recognize about a $250,000 a year savings there. We do have some smaller funding sources. We actually added a vital records order processing fee for the sale of our birth and death certs. That was added 3 budgets ago to sort of shore up that program and not have to rely on county general fund support for that program. We're going to bump that up when we need to. We have some vacant positions currently that we're not going to fill. We know that now. So if I'd like to, I'm hoping I can save the vital records order processing fee bump until the 2026 budget process. So we're going to look at the vacant positions first. We also have foundational public health services baseline. We got some, it's not totally discretionary, but it can go to several programs. We've got some of that revenue going to environmental public health programs that otherwise rely on fees. We can redirect some of that baseline FPHS grant revenue to other programs. It would require the Board of Health to probably accept a pretty healthy fee increase to balance those programs, but it would save positions because it would actually cover that budget deficit. That revenue would be available to be allocated to other programs that don't generate fees, basically, outside of the environmental health arena.
I'm curious, Jeff, what percentage of your budget for 24 is spent on people, salaries, and benefits?
I will go back to that portion of
Yeah.
the.
That
So
was like 12, you said about $12 million in the
just
previous
under
one.
80%
Okay.
of our total budget is staff in the 2024 budget.
And that's not uncommon, by the way. Most public
Right.
agencies, it's maybe like that.
Yep. I'll just say it. I think we can get through the 2025 budget without the loss of any filled positions. I hate to say this, I do not think that will be the case in the 2026 budget process. The deficit is just it's just too large. Unless we get substantial support from the county council, for example, a general fund increase, I don't see us filling a $1.7 million gap without seeing filled positions lost, especially when we're going to fill an $875,000 roughly budget gap in 2025. I think we can do that without losing any filled positions.
Jeff, are
But
these are all long term? There aren't any project positions in here.
we have one project position in here. We're going to fund that in 2025 with fund balance. It is actually part of our balanced budget in 2024. That's an excellent question. Yeah, I look for every possible strategy there is. We've gone so far as we actually reduced our fleet of leased Konica copiers about 3 months ago from 8 to 5. So from eight multifunction devices to 5. I look for every possible situation where we can save some money.
Yeah, that works for a while, and then
Yep.
eventually you've gotten more fat to burn.
Yep, you got no more cards up your sleeve.
I've been through places like these same problems you're experiencing other places, so yeah, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, we had We had a $6 million budget deficit. It was a biennial budget deficit before we transitioned out our clinical services, our WIC program, our parent-child health programs. That was the beginning of us going from, roughly 170 positions down to below 80. We've been very lucky the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years, maybe even 6 or 7 years, by picking up the solid waste fund. That was not part of our umbrella of services. That allowed us to spread our indirects over a larger swath, which saves us money. The medical examiner's office was the same thing. We picked that up, and that allowed us, again, to charge someone else some overhead. The foundational public health services revenue was much needed, and that shielded us from some pretty rough budgets. And then last but not least, I know COVID was devastating, but the revenue that came along with it for us actually helped a lot. We funded a lot of services that would not have otherwise been funded. Now, the COVID revenue is gone. The FPHS is no longer growing. We're not picking up any additional services. We got solid waste in the medical examiner's office. I don't want to ask for anything else at this point, but I don't see any other services from within the county coming our way. So it was nice to have a break. We did, I shouldn't say a break. We did have to eliminate some positions in the 2024 budget. But I anticipate 2026 being a return to a very, very challenging budget process. Any other questions on the 2025 timeline matrix that I developed? Or even on any part of our budget? All right, the next part, I'm going to stop sharing. The next part of my presentation is, I guess, more of a request. We need to staff the FAC budget subcommittee for this year. So we're looking for volunteers. The first conversation we'll have is at the next FAC meeting, which is dedicated to subcommittees. It's the April 23rd meeting. We will probably have at least one meeting outside of the regularly scheduled FAC meetings once we actually have some budget data to look at. We'll then present again at the May FAC meeting. And I went through the timeline. So the budget subcommittee, I want to thank everyone that participated last year. We're looking for anybody from last year who wants to return to the budget subcommittee, and then anybody new who would like to volunteer to be part of the budget subcommittee. And I know you guys are excited to do this. I know it's just thrilling, like a whitewater rafting trip or like a thrill ride at Disneyland. But so I can take maybe 4 or 5 of you. I know you all want to do it, but
I'll do it again, Jeff. I did it last year, so I'm more than happy to do it again.
Thank you, Tyler. I see a hand up from Dr. Fisher. Thank you. Peggy's got a heart. Is Peggy volunteering? Elma Blum is going to do it again. Thank you.
I'm not volunteering. I'm just loving this.
You're just loving it.
Can I ask for a trip to Disneyland? Or no? It's not part of the budget, is it?
I'm trying to. If we had a better budget system, a better budget scenario, I was going to actually budget in a retreat somewhere fun. Yeah. I'm partial to Maui myself, but.
That's fine.
So we've got Dr. Fisher, Elma, and Tyler. Rob, do you want to give it a shot?
Yeah, you had some great questions, Rob.
I would, Jeff, but I'm already stretched thin on my day job.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. Well, when we do come back to present, I'm sure it'll be great.
And Jeff, I think Marla was part of the committee last year, wasn't she?
Marla was, yes.
And she may be interested in continuing as well, so we can check with her.
Awesome.
How many did you end up with, Jeff?
It sounds like if Marla agrees, I think I got 5.
Nice. That's a solid committee.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for your support. And I'm fairly happy that the 2025, I think we can get through the 2025 budget without too much pain. I was not looking forward to we I don't, I was it's not a good time. I don't want to go through a difficult budget process this year, so
Well, thank you, Jeff. I think that was a really great overview. I think we have a good understanding of where we're starting and what your timeline is. And I also want to thank all of you that volunteered to be on the budget committee. It's interesting, but it's also deep. So, Jeff, you do a good job in coordinating all that. So, thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Sandy.
All right. So our next thing on the agenda is the bylaws survey. As you know, a few months ago, the bylaws committee had presented a proposal to change the bylaws from our Robert's Rules decision making to a consensus decision making process. And there had been a lot of new members at that time, and there was a lot of questions and dialogue around that. And so Haley had put together a quick little survey to get some more information from the group so that the bylaws committee could move forward with a solid proposal for the group to vote on. We've had four respondents to that survey, and we put it out there a couple, three times. And for us to move forward, for the bylaws committee to move forward, they really want to hear from you. And so we're going to take a little bit of time now during this meeting to kind of go through those questions and see if we can get some responses from you here during the meeting. And so we're hoping that at the next meeting, either in April or at least by the May meeting, the bylaws committee will have some more discussion or recommendation for the group. So I'm going to turn it over to Haley because she's created the activity for us to be able to have this input on the survey.
I want to add, we've got a little bit of time. We might end up ending a little early tonight. But does anyone need to review, like, should I pull up the amendments the bylaws committee put together? It was attached to email this morning and for last month, and we've talked about it at previous meetings, but does anyone need a quick refresher before we do some quick polling to get your feedback? Everybody's prepped. Okay, so essentially, like Sandy said, since we got four responses to the survey, that's okay. We're not shaming anyone. We're just gonna repeat the survey as a group. So what I'll do is a Zoom poll. If you're on your phone in your car, please do not attempt to respond to this, Michael. We'll kind of get your feedback later. But what will happen is a poll will pop up on your screen and you can select your response. And then I'm going to drop into the chat a link to Google Jamboard, which we've used in the past, but you can essentially elaborate on your responses by adding sticky notes there. And so the bylaws committee wants this last final opportunity to get your feedback before bringing forward a proposal to vote on. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's see. I'm going to launch question one, which is please indicate on a scale of 1 to 5 if the proposed revisions meet our goal of creating a more inclusive decision-making process. One being revisions are missing the mark, to 5 totally accomplishing what we set out to do with the option of I'm not sure. Okay, got 12 responses, which might actually be the number of staff members who are able to respond at the moment on Zoom. I'm going to go ahead and end and share these results just so we can take a look together. This will be, can you see the results now, everyone? Okay, so this will be kind of what the bylaws committee will consider and look at. Some 5s, some 4s, some 3s, some 2s, and a few, I'm not sure. Okay, let's move to question two to get your feedback. Here we go, launching. In a second, here we go. So same scale 1 to 5, how you feel about implementing these revisions as written. One, I have hesitations. To five, I have no hesitation. Okay. Well, let me go ahead and share these results. So this is what the bylaws committee will be looking at. And we're gonna have some chance to kind of elaborate on why you chose what you chose. Let's go to the third and final poll here. Okay. There's a little bit of a typo here, but for the types of decisions FAC typically makes, please select the decision types. You should be able to select all and all that apply that you think are most important to apply a consensus model to. The most important to apply consensus to. And I'm going to give you a little bit more time to fill this one out. One more minute or so waiting for some responses to come in. Can you raise your hand or thumb or tell me if you need more time? I think we might be waiting on a few people. Oh, there's 12. Okay, let me share these. Okay, so some themes here on what might be really important to use the consensus model for. So again, the FACT bylaws committee will take a look at this and consider next steps. Okay, the last opportunity to give some feedback on these questions and these proposed revisions. I'm dropping into chat right now a link to Google Jamboard. Again, this might be a little difficult if you're on your phone. So if you're on your phone, you can feel free to enter into chat or send Sandy, who's on the bylaws committee, so your comments. If you go ahead and you open Google Jamboard, I'll share my screen. You should see two different prompts in there on the first slide. You can navigate at the very top from slide one to slide two. The question is kind of elaborating on your response to what are these hitting the mark or not? What is or is not hitting the mark, or what hesitations do you have, and how might we address them? So that's the first prompt that, if you weren't a five, let us know what you're thinking. And then the second prompt. What does FAC need to successfully implement these revisions around decision making so that the bylaws committee can support any procedures or training that might be important to help implement these revisions if they're adopted? Okay, so I'm gonna, if you haven't used Google Jamboard in the past with us, over on the left-hand side of the screen, there's a toolbar and you can collect, pick the little icon that looks like a sticky note, click it, type in your comment, click save, and it'll automatically appear on the board. So, and it's anonymous, so feel free to give us your give the bylaws committee your honest feedback so that they can consider the kind of poll results and all this information moving forward. I'm just going to give 5 silent minutes to fill out the Jamboard, see if there's any remaining activity, and then Sandy, I think we could probably move to the next agenda item. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to just ask what the first 2 poll questions were. I'll paste them into chat for you all if you've got them. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry, how do you ask? I mean, I'm just seeing your screen.
Yeah. You got to click on the link in chat and open it in your own browser. Yep. I wish it was interactive.
I'm sorry, click where?
Open up the Zoom, your Zoom window, and then in the chat on the side or at the top or the Zoom chat, I pasted a link. I'll paste it again. And you'll open the Jamboard in your own internet browser.
I guess I feel dumb because I don't know where to go.
Okay, Kimberly, at the bottom of your screen, somewhere on your screen, you should see the Zoom icon to come back to where you can see us.
I'm sorry, I do not have a Zoom icon on my computer at the bottom.
Hey, Kimberly, I'll email it to you real quick.
Okay,
check your email.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks, Emma. Yep. No Tyler, problem. You still look perplexed too.
I'll email it to Tyler too.
I'm good.
Okay. Oh, he's good. Okay. Thanks, Emma. Yep. And let me paste into chat the poll questions you've got.
Give me a second. All right. Where are the poll questions again? Oh.
I'm just a slow typer. I'm dropping them into chat right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
No worries.
Anyone else unable to access Jamboard? Kimberly, were you able to get in?
No, I still have nothing's working. My mouse isn't working.
Oh no.
I mean, it's like scrolling around the screen, but nothing is active no matter what I click on. I can't even exit the Zoom meeting. I didn't mean to do that, but I'm just clicking everything. So
okay, that's okay.
All right. I'm participating. I'm reading.
Okay. Yep. I'll keep it pulled up. And if you do figure out how to get into chat and want to send me something to add to the screen, we can do it that way too.
Okay. Okay.
If you haven't already and you're in there, you can move to the slide. If you're done with the first prompt, you can move up at the top to the second prompt and respond to that. And once I'm still seeing a lot of activity, so we'll give it a few more minutes. Okay, I'm not seeing any new notes being added. So, but what I'll do is send this out with the meeting minutes so folks can continue adding input if you weren't able to this evening, or I can follow up individually to figure out how to get your feedback to the bylaws committee so that they can determine the best path forward. Sandy, is there anything else that you want to ask of PAC members tonight about this?
I don't think so. I want to thank everybody for participating. And if you have additional thoughts after the meeting, if you want to share them either with Haley or myself, you can send us an email if you'd like, if you don't mind letting us know, because I think it's important that the bylaws committee know how everyone feels and what their ideas are about this so that we can move forward. So thank you, everyone, for all your comments tonight. And trying to figure out Jamboard. All right, any other comments on this topic? As Haley said, we are going to get done a little bit early tonight. I'd like to take this time for any community updates. So this is a time when if any of you have something that you want to share, a community update that you want to share with a public health advisory, an event, or something that's going on within an organization that you're working with. Now's the time to maybe share that with the other FAC members.
I have one thing to share. It's a public health concern. I'm a veterinarian, and in the spring, especially March and April, and in the fall as well, my colleagues and I see a lot of Giardia, which is an intestinal parasite, and it is a zoonotic disease that humans can get from animals really easily. And we do have some lots of dogs getting diagnosed with this, like two or three a day in our clinic, our small clinic. And we do have some clients who are in housing insecure situations that are also getting this just because it's so easily transmitted. I just wanted to pass that along. Might be helpful for Andrea and some of the others that are working in the field.
Great, thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that. So I work for a Legacy Salmon Creek, and Legacy is currently working on their contract with Regents. I don't know, it's been in the news a little bit, but it's kind of a big deal. So we might. If they cannot come to terms, we might have a lot of our fellow community members lose their health insurance, which is a huge public health issue.
I don't know that they'd lose their insurance. They would just not, they would have to go out of network if
They
they
would have
stayed with Legacy. So they could go
yeah.
elsewhere, but they'd lose their provide their, well, unless they wanted to pay out of network. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the same thing happened with Providence. Blue Cross Blue Shield Regents had a match with them and they resolved it. I'm hoping, I think the deadline is April 1st. I'm hoping that they resolve it. So.
And from what I understand, the last time that they negotiated, it was kind of up to the last minute. So there's still
What
hope.
happened with Providence? A lot of us are affected because the Clark County, because we have either Kaiser or Regents Blue Cross, so it's hitting home. By the way, I'm sorry, I'm yakking too much. Giardia is a notifiable condition, so if folks are interested, we can get you some more information on that as well.
It's beaver fever, right, Doc?
It's
Haven't heard that term, but I'll go with it. Yeah.
it's a fecal parasite, intestinal parasite. It's
Yep.
transmitted from poop to mouth. And that can be as simple as a child touching, petting a dog near the butt, and they put everything. It's super easy transmission. It's unfortunate.
It's an enteric disease, like, yeah, public message, I hate to say this, is don't eat stool. Yeah.
Is that how dogs get it as well?
Dogs are the one of the main carriers
Oh, the
of it.
carriers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Beavers are a reservoir of it. So I guess that's where that term came from. Okay.
Yeah, when I used to spend a lot of time traipsing through the wilderness, I always said, don't drink from streams without purifying it because beaver fever,
That's it.
which, you know, again.
And they may not be sick, and the dogs may not be sick, but yeah, people will get sick. Yeah. It's nasty, fatty type of stools. Yeah.
And also the Giardia parasite has evolved over the last 30 years or so, and now dogs and people may be infected with it and have waxing and waning diarrhea than normal stool, diarrhea than
Yeah.
normal stool. So they kind of tend to ignore it a little more in the dogs and maybe in the people because it's not this blown out diarrhea that it used to be 20 years ago with Giardia. So things are mutating a little bit, and it can make it more challenging to die. To be aware of there being a problem first. It's easy to diagnose, but the recognition that there might be a problem is not as clear as it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, people can shed it in their stools for weeks or months.
Dogs too. Oops.
You know, I was going to have dinner in a minute, but now I'm thinking I'm not going to eat dinner tonight. So
you
Just
can't
wash
get
your
enough
hands
of
well.
this
Just
stuff,
don't
really.
eat
I
poop for
love
dinner,
talking
you're
about it.
fine.
I love talking about enteric illness. Yeah.
Mutating exploding diarrhea. Yeah, there's a message.
What a
What's
great way
Thanksgiving?
to end our meeting.
Sorry about that. My video just went away too, and I don't know where it went. Sorry.
Wonderful to have a veterinarian on FACT. This is
That's
great.
right. That's right. All right. Anybody else have any great news to share? Okay.
This is Franklin Johnson. I'd like to share something briefly. The Clark County Commission on Aging is collaborating. We're focusing this year on emergency preparedness, and we're collaborating with CRESA, Scott Johnson, who is on this call, and Jody Blackwood have provided some excellent presentations on how to prepare an emergency kit step by step with some of the understanding and reasoning behind why they're making those specific recommendations. So we've got that program going for the year, and we really want to try and get our aging population better prepared to deal with emergency events whenever they may occur. Thank you.
Great. That's a great project, Franklin. Thank you for sharing. All right. Well, if there is nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Our next meeting is April 23rd, and it'll be in person next month. And it will be at the Cascade Park Community Library, which is adjacent to the Furstenberg Center. So Haley will be sending out notices for that. The library does close at 7:30 sharp, and so we need to be walking out of the building at 7:30. So we'll be choreographing the meeting to end early or right on time. And so you'll be hearing more about it, but at least we have a lovely place to have our meeting next month at the Cascade Park Community Library. So
I work out at Furstenberg, so I'll just come next door.
There you go. You don't have a long ways to go, Paul. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn our March meeting, and everyone have a great month.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.